Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you all, and thank you for tuning in live on Thursday, where I actually rescheduled Wednesday relationship night for tonight. So this is not a normal night for me here on Blog Talk Radio, but I thank God for all those that retrieve this message on my social media site, and I thank God for those that are listening live. God bless you, area code 832. Thank the Lord for your obedience as well. And those that are listening via internet and will retrieve this broadcast in the archives, I am your host, Prophetess Ellen Bynum. God bless you all once again on this Thursday night. I know for Wednesday, relationship night, and Monday and Friday, prophecy night, all three segment shows start at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. But our scenario question, relationship night question, is why is most relationships misleading and unhealthy? Why is most relationships misleading and unhealthy? Now, I don't know about you. I'm sure that you can think of many relationships you have or had. And when I say relationship, it does not necessarily mean a type of courtship relationship. It could be between son and mother, daughter and mother, and so forth. I know that you can think of many relationships that you personally been involved in that were misleading and unhealthy. And nevertheless, the consequences of following a pattern inside of a relationship that is misleading and unhealthy, nothing positive comes out of it. Nothing good comes from it. What I would like to do, I want to see, open up the line for area code 832, see if she's available to also bless us, give her input and why most relationships are misleading and unhealthy. God bless you, area code 832. How are you this evening?
I'm blessed. Thank God. It's good to be back on the line, and thank God for you. And thank God that, you know, I have here to deal with your ex, try to deal with your ex, but I have a relationship. The most relationship is unhappy. Number one, first, we should have a relationship with God first. Then we get a relationship with God, and when we go into a relationship, we have to have understanding with each other. Sometimes people say, I do this and I do that. If they say they're going to do too much, then you're going to wonder about their relationship. And I would pray over the relationship. The relationship would be good and successful and pleasant. But most of the time, it doesn't work out that way. Sometimes it's both our fault. Sometimes it's the man's fault. Sometimes it's the lady's fault. And sometimes we have bad relationship with our mother, with our kids, because sometimes we get off on the wrong foot and wish we should check ourselves and say, this is what we're going to decide to do. Sit down and talk and see which way that we can come to understanding to make this relationship work, especially when there are children involved. When you and your husband, and you ask God for a husband and wait on to God to give you one, and you knowing that you already know the law, and you and your soulmate sat out and talk and said, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to do it. We're going to pray together, and we're going to pray and ask God to guide us through this relationship. We're not going to try to guide ourselves. We're going to be honest with one another, not going to be no lies told, not going to be no cheating, and we're going to go to church together, and we're going to bond ourselves together. And after you do that, then you start off your relationship, and because there are so many relationships in the world today, misunderstanding, misguided, and misled. And for that, you should ask God to lead you, and he would do just that. And I think if you have your first relationship with God and you and your mate, you and your husband, and have understanding and a guiding and pray together, be honest and open with one another, with kids also, with mother and father. I say then the relationship will work, but you got to pray. You can't just start a relationship, just sit there and don't do nothing about it. You got to make sure with your husband, have the house clean, have his meal prepared. The husband is supposed to help you. If he's going out to work, then you, they are raising children and cleaning the house. He's not supposed to come in and sit down. He's supposed to help because he never knows. He might come one day and you might just had a bad day or you were sick at the doctor's office and you couldn't prepare the meal. And he should understand that. Things like this happened. One of his children got sick. We was at the hospital all day. First, you got to be believing one another. And I feel like that would make a beautiful relationship. That's
well, you know what? Well, you know what? Let me tell you something. Everything you just actually spoken is so true. You know, every time I personally think about a relationship, and like you said, the key element, you have to have God in the equation of your relationship. But if we just back up, for me, relationships is like food. You eat it one day, tomorrow you don't want it. And there are so many things that suffer, like you say, with an individual. A lot of people come into relationship from the past, and we can think of so many other things. But you know, I want to share with you, and as well as the listeners, I thought about those relationships where one or both partners have feelings for someone else and isn't truthful to themselves or either their partners. You know, there's no commitment in relationships. Or area code 832. People are talking to the girl downstairs, and then they're sleeping with the one upstairs, and then the one around the block. You know, there's no commitment.
Amen.
You know, so how do we get people just to listen enough to understand the importance of a relationship and then get them to Christ, being able to understand that same relationship that we have? You know, I know that you're saved and that you're a believer in Jesus Christ. How do we get them to that level? You know, so I always say conversation and communication. Those about the two powerful things in a relationship. But I just wanted to say that to you while you were alive. And, yes, everything that you have spoken is so true. We can go on and on with this, area code 832, and I thank God for what you bless us with. It furthers life's most relationship misleading and unhealthy. I thank you so much for what you bless
Amen.
Us with. Amen. Make sure
Amen.
You stay with
thank
us
God.
Now. Don't hang up.
I will.
I might have to open,
I love you.
I might have to open it back out. Okay.
Yeah.
God bless you.
Okay. Thank you, baby.
Yes.
God bless you and I love you. You know that.
Love you too. Yeah. That's Sister Holly, 832. You know, that is so true. Then I speak to women that have to be in an unhealthy relationship or a misleading relationship because they don't want to be by themselves. Then I speak to other women that tell me that they have to have a man and whatever repercussion they have to face just to keep him, they're willing to do that. Then I have other women share with me that I'm not married to him, but we live together. And let me tell you something. It is not often that you move in with a man and he's going to marry you. You know, you no longer hold marriage potential because he already know about you, because he lived with you, he stayed with you, and it didn't cause him to marry you. So why should he change his mind and say, okay, I'm going to marry this woman? If he loved you, he said, well, look, let me do this thing right. Let me marry her, and then we can live together. So you have all those relationships, my listeners, where you have even when the partner embarrass one in public or scold one in public. I have been in the mall, and I see couples walking in the mall, and maybe the male could be the aggressive talking loud. I have been in places where the woman is aggressive. And, you know, you didn't tell me that. you know, and everybody, them all turning around looking. Or I have heard the man say, if you don't get over here, I'm going to knock you until tomorrow. And we turning around looking, you know. So that type of behavior can be misleading and unhealthy in a relationship. And area code 832, you know, she said one of the key things, we need God in our relationship. You have, I spoke about on the last segment show about the new program, Saints and Sinners. I had a problem distinguishing who was a saint. I couldn't figure out who was a saint and who was a sinner because to me they all were backing up or they all had their issues. And I'm just saying that our relationship as a believer in Christ should be just as effective of my relationship with my significant other, whether it's my husband, whether it's my son, whether it's my daughter. The same example that I'm producing as being an image and likeness of Christ still should go and line up with the relationship that I have. Another problem that I have seen in a relationship is when one partner completely depends on the other partner. Now, I'm not trying to say that you do not supposed to have dependency as a woman, as a husband, being the head of that household and also the one that should be making the decision and you speaking and sharing your thoughts with your husband about what is needed for the family. There's nothing wrong in regards to that, but you have some relationships where they completely lie on each other. Or, for instance, well, I only got $50 for my paycheck, so I'm going to feed off of you, and then next week you feed off of me, and then the following week you feed off of me. That's not a best pattern that you should set up for a relationship. What you should do is set up some kind of guidelines or some type of savings that you all can rotate into an account so when those rainy days come, you'll be able to survive, you know. So a lot of people in the relationship today, for me, the prophet is saying, I believe that most relationships that are misleading and unhealthy is those relationships that have been overlooked of what that individual has been through in their past. And they bring it into that relationship, that same spirit, that same attitude, and it doesn't get the relationship off a good start where both partners can be fed physically and both partners can be fed spiritually. I like to think of relationship as a diamond. They would call it actually a triangle. And a triangle is three-sided, where God should be the head, the man, and then the woman. And I think that if I could just use that as a scenario for the purpose of our scenario question, if you're just tuning in live with us, why is most relationship misleading and unhealthy? When we hold to that diaphragm in our relationship, the man goes to God for instruction. The woman goes to the man for the answers and the suggestions, whether it's for the relationship and as well as the family. And when the woman goes to the man, assumingly the man already heard from God, and he can sit down and talk to the woman and explain to her what he feels that God has spoken to him concerning the relationship. Now, let not this authority of the man be misleading into the minds of a woman, because most women would say, you ain't going to tell me what I got to do. I'm going to do what I want to do. Well, that's the wrong attitude to have in a relationship, and particularly whether this man is your husband, your fiancé, or whether you're in courtship with this person. It's the wrong attitude. I'm not saying that the woman should never go to God The woman can go to God at any time she chooses that she feels that she wants to pray to God or go to God for understanding, for clarity. But this triangle symbol, God is saying that it never should be broken in a relationship. And God is showing me a broken cracker, C-R-A-C-K-E-R. Now, I'm going to tell you what that means spiritually. That means that when that triangle, three-sided symbol triangle is broken, the body of that relationship is broken. Just as we take communion and how the bread represents the body of Christ, God is saying that when that symbol is broken, the body of the relationship is broken. And God is saying that once the body of that relationship is open, it leaves open revenue for Satan to come in. And I know that those that are listening probably say, okay, yeah, temptation by Satan. Yeah, and but once this body of this symbol is broken between you and your partner and God, it leaves open doors for Satan to come in. And sometimes, and hear me good, what I'm about to say, sometimes relationships need Satan to come in for us to be faithful and obedient and go to God. Because sometimes it takes the bad things in a relationship for us to wake up. Even if you think of relationships that involve domestic violence, there's a lot of women and men that have been involved in domestic violence. Whether it's verbally, whether it's physically, is still violence, you know. And when that body of that triangle, as I say, is broken, Satan will come in with a whole bunch of stuff to trick your mind and to have you think that this relationship is not worthy. And God is saying, don't forget about that. Because all he wants to do, and I'm meaning Satan, all he wants to do is bring up your past and get you frustrated again. Now, you know, God didn't deliver you from your mess, and here he coming, he wants to bring up your past. Or what about the scenario, if you're going through with your relationship, don't tell your girlfriend, she don't give advice. Or it might be vice versa, don't tell your best male friend, you know, he's not going to give you good advice. I'm not saying either or I will give good advice, but when a relationship is suffering from something that is misleading and healthy, I do believe at this time you need to be more or less counseled and more or less spoken to by someone who can reach God or who can talk to you and be able to share their thoughts with you and what you need to do. So I know that God is not only just speaking to me, but I know that God is speaking to you all. I get most of my calls on Monday and Friday where the people want to ask questions about their relationship. And then when relationship night comes, which is normally on a Wednesday, as I say, but I had to reschedule Wednesday for today, because I wanted to share with you all what God has given me to share with you in my spirit for what he is trying to say to you all. Okay, now let's just put aside a man and a woman relationship. It's the same thing with the symbol. Now, I'm going to help somebody tonight. If you're having problems with your son or your daughter, there's two people. I see a guy and I see a female. And those two people are represented as someone's children. Now, I'm going to say this to you. I want you to think about this triangle that I just spoke to you about, symbol. And I guarantee you, if you take what the prophet just spoke about, in a relationship between a man and a woman, and apply this to relationships, to your own children, I promise you whatever problem you have will leave in this season of 2016. So, for example, what you're going to do, as a matter of fact, if you're not close to a paper, and don't tell me, oh, you're going to put in your mind, you're going to put in your mind. I tell you to read scriptures, and some of y'all don't read it. But that's not for me to judge. That's for God to judge. I want you to do a triangle, and I call it a diamond shape. It should be. You should have 3 points. On the top, I want you to put God, and on the left, whoever it is in that relationship. Let me just use my children. I'm just going to say John, and that's one of my son's names, and I'm going to say Ellen. And I want you to put that there. And if you know that John was given instructions by you to read Psalms 121, or the Lord to read Isaiah 46, as a matter of fact, the prophet goes, what did I say, 46? Okay, chapter 40. Verse 6, I want you to apply that in your chart. I don't mean to go buy a big old jumbo book, but just be faithful and allow the Lord to speak to you. And whatever it is that's misleading and unhealthy in that relationship with that child, it could be a son and daughter, because I did see a boy and a girl. And these are young adult people I'm talking about. I don't want you to think I'm saying 6 years old and 5 years old. They might not be able to do what the prophet is saying. And I want you to apply that. I want you to apply that to the relationship with your children. And why am I saying that tonight to you? And this is even if you want to use this for your relationship with your significant other, you can also do that. The point that the prophet is saying with this diamond display, I want you to apply it to whatever it is that you are seeking God to do in this relationship. Now, let's say it's a relationship sister-sister, sister-brother, because if I can look at it, I'm not in 100% standing with all of my sisters and brothers. Do I love them? Of course. I love them all. But there, if I would do the diamond display, the problem would be that God is separated from them, where God is separated to me, and it's going to still have that diamond shape or that diamond symbol God is saying. The body would still be broken. So since I'm connected to God, it would be up to me to talk to that other person that may be part of my life to help them to reach God. And I hope that you're understanding what I am saying. If we are, and matter of fact, I want you all to read Psalms 121, and I want you all to read Psalms chapter 40, verse 6. That's Isaiah chapter 40, verse 6. And I know for the last couple of sessions, God actually been having me to give y'all scriptures to read, which is a good thing, and I believe that most of you all are reading it in good standards. I'm just going to say, let's see, God is going to tell you when the Lord speaks. They always say that you got to be on point. But for whatever reason, I'm kind of just letting the Holy Spirit just lead me right now in what God is saying. Because there's a lot of you that have a lot of problems with your own children. And I know it's kind of personal, but I can't hide what God is saying. And we think of thank you, Holy Ghost, all of the Genesis brother rivalry beef, all of the 11 brothers, and I believe I have that number right, all the 11 brothers are in the book of Genesis. Thank you, Lord. Where they had beef with one another, Cain and Abel and all of that. I'm not going to get into all of that. And, wow, God is showing me, oh, God, Joseph, how Joseph's father loved all his children, but he still showed his favoritism to Joseph because Joseph was special from God and Joseph had a calling on his life, and his father knew that. And he knew that there was going to be purpose for Joseph. And some of you all that are listening tonight, this relationship night scenario, God is saying that it's for you and your children. We have, as a mother, I say I treat all my children the same. That wasn't the case with me. Because I had my son John just recently came to me, and he said that I show more favoritism to my oldest son, who happens to be Joseph. And I apologize for my actions because I didn't see that. I'm not saying it made me a bad mother, but I didn't see that. And I respect the fact that he had enough guts to tell me, Mom, this is how I feel. So I told him, I say, son, I want to correct this, and we're going to work together and do everything that we need to do. Isaiah chapter 46, verse 6 says, a voice says, cry out. And I say, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all of their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. And God wants us to cry out to him over whatever situation that we may be going through or whatever it is that's mobilizing us to be content and or afraid to cry out. You know, I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to be honest with you, too. And I'm not even checking the time. Time ain't important right now. What's important is the word of God. And I want to be obedient to this. Most of you that's connected right now on this line that is listening to this broadcast, not only I know that you're having problems and the connection and that diamond diaphragm is going to be a part of whatever it is, is because you still need to have the connection with God and whatever was in your past that you went through, healed and delivered. Yes, I said it. I told my daughter said to me one time, she said, Mom, she said, oh, I come home, you don't give me no kiss, you don't give me no hug. And I say to my daughter, oh, you're a big girl. You don't need no kiss, you don't need no hug. And I never forget, I had a close friend of mine say to me, yes, she does. Need a hug. Yes, she does. She need a kiss. And listen to what God is saying. And I'm going to put this out here. When the last time, listen to me, all my listeners, one of the switchboards, 347, I see you, 832, and those that are listening via internet and archives, you know what God just say? And I'm going to close out with this. God just say, when the last time you hug and kiss your child? All right. All right. All right. I'm going to stay right there. When the last time you hug and kiss your child, don't you know it does more for a child of a mother or a father to demonstrate that affection than it is to maybe send a birthday card in the mail or a phone call? When was the last time you hugged and kissed your child? May God continue to bless you all. Make sure you come back on Wednesday now at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we'll have another relationship scenario and where the Word of God will bless us all. And that woman that is sitting by her computer that has plum or light purple velvet curtain, God hears your cry. Sometimes just a hug and holding that child will make a big difference than saying that you'll never be nothing, or you're just like your father, or you're just like your mother. I want everybody to read Psalm 121 and Isaiah 46 and let the Lord minister that verse to you. God bless you. Thank you all for your obedience to the Lord, and may God continue to bless us all. God bless you all.